We'll just invite you now to turn for a scripture reading to Luke's Gospel, chapter 23, tonight. Luke's Gospel, chapter 23. We're breaking into the reading, verse 33. Familiar passage in many ways, recording Christ's crucifixion. Luke chapter 23 and the verse 33. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with him derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him, offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew. This is the king of the Jews. One of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, saying thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour, and the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, Certainly, this was a righteous man. We'll ask you to stand now to change your position as we seek the Lord's face and his help as we come to the preaching of his precious word tonight. Father, we just thank thee and praise thee for all that thou dost mean to us. We thank thee, Lord, for the joy that it is to have a testimony to give, to have that account even of that day in our lives when we were swept into the kingdom. And Lord, we pray for any tonight that is here, even under the sound of the preaching of thy precious word, that this will be the night of their salvation. We think of perhaps some young person even deliberating, even contemplating, or perhaps someone older even in the meeting tonight. Perhaps have been challenged in recent days to do more for thee, to do something for thee, to serve thee. Oh Lord, we just pray that you will even intensify that, you will even reveal thy perfect will to them through thy precious word. Take them up and use them, we pray. Bless us now in the preaching of thy precious word. Apply it, we pray, to both saint and sinner alike. Pour out thy spirit upon us. Bless our hearts, we pray. For it's in Christ's name we'd ask it. Amen. Amen. If I were to ask you tonight to think about a significant place in your life, I expect your mind would be guided to various locations for various different reasons. You maybe remember a place fondly. You can even picture tonight that place in which you grew up as a child, the town where you went to school, the place that you always went on holiday during the summer. Various places. Perhaps those of us tonight who are married can remember the place when you met your spouse. That day, the first date, or that time you got down on one knee or you proposed to your spouse, your husband or wife-to-be. However, we can remember various places tonight for various different reasons. Perhaps you remember a place because it was in that exact place you received bad news. That place where you drive by that you had a bad car accident perhaps, and so on. We have all memorable places in our lives. There were many places that played a part in our Lord's earthly life. There was Bethlehem. There was Bethany, Nazareth, and Jerusalem. There was the Judean hillsides and the shores there of the Sea of Galilee. There were the synagogues, the villages, the great temple at Jerusalem. Those places were important places in the life of Jesus. But they were merely steps. Steps along a path to a place mentioned in this text today that we have read together. Every step that the Lord Jesus took in his earthly life was leading him to the place that the Greeks called topos kranio, the place that the Hebrews called Golgotha, the Romans called it Calvary, or as it is known to us tonight as the place of the skull. All through the Gospels, Jesus has said that this was his destiny. An example of such is seen in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 20, and the verse 28. And we see there, the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. The very morning of his death, he told Pontius Pilate that Calvary was the place that he was going. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world. And I would like us this evening to travel back for a time to that place called Calvary. As we do, I want to point out some facts about that place, which make it a special place, make it a different place from all other. If I was to entitle this message tonight, it would be this: A Visit to Calvary. A visit to Calvary, and I want to center your minds tonight upon Calvary, to focus your hearts upon Calvary. It was a place of unbelievable torment. We see there in verse 33 this wonderful phrase: there they crucified him. Four words, yet it summarizes over 18 hours of suffering. There they crucified him. What did he suffer? What did he suffer during those hours? He had been arrested, he'd been tried, he'd been convicted there in that old mock trial. False witnesses, they had been called and told their nonsense. He had been abused by the temple guards. We think of Mark's account there, Mark 14 and 65. Some began to spit on him, to cover his face, to buffet him, to say unto him, to prophesy, that the servants did strike him with the palms of their hands. He had been taken by Pilate. He was abused there by Pilate's soldiers. He was scourged. Pilate, willing to content the people, he released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. Here we see an illustration of the righteous one, the sinless one, the perfect one, the Lord Jesus Christ, condemned while the guilty lawbreaker, oh, he was set free, hell deserving, sinner such as you and me. The Lord Jesus Christ was crucified that we could go free. For he hath made him to be sin for us, he who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. This scourging was performed there by a Roman flagellum, a whip with multiple leather cords and pieces of metal tied throughout to tear open the flesh and the muscle. And you know, sometimes I think we read over these passages, and regardless how often we think of Calvary, we never in our finite mind can really enter in or understand the brutal scene that was there that day. As our Saviour was scourged for you and for me, these pieces of leather and these weak cuttings, as it were, of metal with sharp points, how they scourged, how they beat our Saviour that day. Matthew records how a band of about 600 Roman soldiers beat our Saviour. They spat upon him. His beard was pulled out. Isaiah 50 in the verse 6, I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. Crowned with thorns. Come in yesterday. Thought there's a wee thorn in my finger. I set it out to my wife and went and got her the pin, as is the process, and asked her, would you have a wee hook there and see, can you get that out? But that isn't the sort of thorns of which we speak of here tonight. Long thorns, plaited together, pressed down upon our Saviour's lovely brow. For sinners such as you and me tonight. He was crowned with thorns. He was mocked. They clothed him with that purple robe. Began to salute him. Oh, hail King of the Jews! Mock the lovely Saviour. He who knew no sin had become sin for us. He was sentenced to die. He suffered there while he carried his cross to Golgotha. It's recorded there for us in John 19 and the verse 17. And he bearing his cross went forth into the place, called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha. Oh, he suffered. Suffered there as he carried his cross to Calvary. And I want you to picture the scene with me tonight, men and women and young people. The scholars agree that the weight of this cross was around 50 kilos, which is quite a weight. Yet never mind after being scourged, being beaten, he endured. The Saviour, as he suffered, carried that cross. But nevertheless, there was a greater weight upon him that day, and that was the weight of your sin and mine. It is recorded in Matthew 27 and 32 that Simon of Cyrene, he was compelled then to help carry the cross. But friend, tonight there was no one helped the Lord Jesus Christ to bear your sin or mine, and there was no other good enough to bear the price of sin. To pay it. None other good enough. Christ suffered at Calvary, was nailed to the cross. Mark records in his gospel at the third hour they crucified him. And the Saviour of sinners, he was nailed to that cross there at Calvary with nails that were about that length. 7 inches. Nailed there into our Saviour's hand. And they weren't just wee thin felt nails or some other wee nail that you can think of, or perhaps a large staple. No, they were about the thickness of your finger. And they were driven in angle ways within his hand to make sure that they caught the median nerve. I'm no doctor or nurse, but I'm told on good authority that they were driven in at an angle, as I have researched and studied this, to hit a median nerve, which caused him then to shake. There on the cross, to intensify the pain, to intensify the suffering, to cause that massive spasm and to wreck his body. Friend, tonight do you realize the suffering that Christ endured at Calvary for you and for me? He submitted himself to the death of the cross. Philippians 2, 5 and 8, 5 through to 8, he humbled himself, being found in fashion as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Tell me tonight, is that why that you won't get saved tonight? Because it would mean a humbling of yourself. Christ suffered for sinners like you. He humbled himself. He submitted himself to the will of the Father. Why did he do it? He did it to demonstrate God's love, but God commendeth his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. For he did it to destroy sin. He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself, Hebrews 9 and 26, to defeat Satan. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. He did it for you tonight. Did it for sinners like you. Isaiah prophesied it. Isaiah 53, we referred to it even this morning, the central chapter of the prophecy. 4-6, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. He did it for you, dear sinner friend, tonight. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. The hymn writer asked the question, was it for me? He came to die. He goes on to give the answer. It was for me. Yes, all for me. Oh, love of God. So great, so free. He died for me. My Lord and King. Christ suffered and died at Calvary. For you and for me. It was a place of unbelievable torment. But see, also it was a place of unspeakable tragedy. We see there in verses 34 through to 38, in every account of the death of Christ in the Gospels, one little pronoun keeps appearing, the pronoun they. And just a glance down through this text here in Luke 23 that we have read together will give us a glimpse or an insight, as it were, into the heart of these people that were gathered that day. Verse 18, they chose Barabbas over Jesus, verse 21. They cried for his death. Verse 23, they were determined to see him dead. Verse 25, they desired him dead. Verse 26, they led him away to his death. Verse 36, they even mocked him as he died. And what did he do? What did he do? What did he ever do to deserve such treatment? All that he had ever done was good. He had healed their sick, he had raised their dead, he had fed the hungry, he had told them the truth. Yet they rejected him and demanded that he would be put to death. We think of the words of John 19 and verse 14 and 15, and it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour, and he said unto the Jews, behold your king. What did they cry out? Oh, they cried out, away with him! Away with him! Crucify him! And friend, tonight, the reality is this, though that you might not like to hear it, if you're sitting in your seat and in your heart you're rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ, in reality you cry with the crowd tonight, away with him! Crucify him! I want nothing to do with this man! What makes this so tragic was that the Lord Jesus was their Messiah. They'd waited for him. They had looked for him. Prayed for him for thousands of years. And when he came, what? They refused to bow to him. Isaiah 53, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. He came to his own, and his own received him not. Everything they did pointed to him, pointed to his coming. And as tragic as it is, it is just so tragic even today as we meet together, even in this building tonight, that people are still rejecting Christ. Still reject him. I will not have this man rule over me. He is the only hope of salvation. There's many people fearful of the life which is to come. But yet the Lord Jesus Christ, what does he give? He makes life worth living. He makes death worth dying. He makes eternity, what? Something to look forward to. When we have Christ, we have everything. We have need of nothing else. He says, I am the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Have you got that peace tonight in your heart? Do you know what it is to be saved? You know, we all talking about the vaccine. There's so much talk about all this pandemic, and all these things have their place. Far be it from me to belittle or to throw in my penny's worth. I'm no medical profession or professional. But we need Christ. We need Christ. And we have Christ in our lives. We have need of nothing else. We need to use wisdom in these days. We need to seek his help. We need to pray over all these things, all these situations in which we find ourselves in. But more than anything else tonight, in these days, we need Christ. People still mock him. People still curse him. People still refuse to bow down to him. And yet, we can't understand, as we consider this scene before us tonight, why they would even do such a thing. Why they would even ever say no to Christ. Why would they ever refuse Christ? Sinner friend, tonight I warn you, do not trample upon the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, upon his shed blood, as if it was nothing more than worthless. Hebrews 10:29, turn over with me. See it for yourself. The danger of doing such a thing. Hebrews chapter 10 and the verse 29 gives us the result of such an action. How much sore punishment. Who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing. You not come to Christ tonight. Come away from the crowd. Receive him by faith tonight. Calvary was a place of unbelievable torment. It was a place of unspeakable tragedy, but see also, it was a place of unequal triumph. Verses 39 through to 47, all was not tragedy on that day. Yes, the Lord Jesus had suffered a more horrible death than we can ever imagine. Even if we were to stay here all night, if we were to try and contemplate it within our finite minds, we would never fully understand the brutality of that day. The weight of our sin as it was placed upon the Savior. He suffered that a more horrible death than we could ever imagine. He accomplished something that day of eternal importance. It was a place of triumph for one of the thieves. Look down there again at Luke 23 and the verse 42. And he said, this is one of the thieves, unto Jesus, Lord, remember me. Will you cry out tonight here in grace? Lord, remember me. Will you be saved tonight? It was a place of triumph for the thief, but it was also for the centurion there in verse 47. And when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, certainly, this was a righteous man. It was a place of triumph for the whosoever will tonight. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. When the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross, he literally became sin. He who knew no sin became sin for us. As sin, he was judged by God the Father. As he looked upon him, he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Christ paid, or died on the cross, he paid for our sins. Of all those who put their faith and trust in him alone for salvation. His triumph was so complete that he was able to declare salvation's plan finished. In his dying breath, it is finished. He died, but he rose again 3 days later, and now he lives forevermore to make salvation available to all who will come in faith to him. Hebrews 7, verse 25, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, saying he ever liveth to make intercession for them. You see, friend, tonight, I don't care how good you are or how talented that you may be, but it's not what you can do for the Lord that matters. It's not what you can do for yourself that matters. It's not even what you do for your neighbor that matters. It's all about what the Lord Jesus Christ can do for you. What he has done, what he has achieved there at Calvary for sinners such as you. Perhaps you're like me tonight. As I've said, I don't know too many here. Maybe you've never been to Calvary, maybe you have. You've never seen the place of the skull. Nevertheless, like me, you rejoice tonight because you have seen it by faith. What about you tonight, sinner friend? Salvation was purchased at Calvary. It can become yours tonight. Will you come? Will you bid the invitation of Christ? Come unto me, all ye who labour and are heavy laden, and I will give thee rest. Or the exhortation of Revelation 22 and 11, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Will you come to Christ tonight? The place called Calvary was a place of unbelievable torment. That place of unspeakable tragedy. Place of unequaled triumph. The young Johnny Lawley, John Lawley, was the youngest of a family of four. He was the son of an alcoholic. Because of his father's addiction, the family resided there in the workhouse in Norfolk. Nonetheless, at a mission in Bradford, he got saved in the year 1877 as a young man, 17. By the age of 18, he was an evangelist, preaching 14 sermons per week. And by the age 19, he was the captain of the Salvation Army. It was said of him that the common people heard him gladly and loved him much. They knew him by but one title, by the love name that they gave him in years gone by, Johnny Lawley. And friend, with great love and concern and compassion in my heart tonight, I invite you, in the words of Johnny Lawley, come with me, visit Calvary, where our Redeemer died. His blood, it fills the fountain. 'Tis full, 'tis deep, 'tis wide. He died from sin to sever our hearts and lives complete. To the uttermost he saves. To the uttermost he saves. Do you now believe? And his love receive. To the uttermost Jesus saves. We commence tonight by directing your thoughts to that memorable place. Or a memorable place in your life, in your experience. But tell me tonight as I close, will Grace Free Presbyterian Church become a memorable place to you tonight? Will it be because you turned your back on the Lord Jesus Christ and rejected his offer of mercy? Or will it be because this will be the night that you receive him by faith alone? This will be the night of your new birth. I trust the Lord will take that which is of himself tonight and use it for his own divine honour and glory. I'm in no rush away. If I can be of any spiritual assistance to anyone here tonight, come and speak with me. I know we have to follow all the guidance and all these things, but there's nothing more important than the matter of your soul's eternal salvation.